I'm really grateful to have an extraordinary person on our show today, and it's Peter Jackson, who's an internationally recognised expert on midwifery. And Peter has over 30 years' experience as a midwife, delivering babies all across Sydney and regional New South Wales. And today I'd like to talk to him about his amazing journey he's had in developing his program, which he calls Calm Birth. Hi, Peter, and thanks for coming on the show.
Good morning, John, and thanks for having me and giving me an opportunity to speak to people.
Absolute pleasure. Peter, the reason I wanted to get you on the show is because of the amount of experience you've had throughout your life in delivering babies and the process that you've made it in terms of helping out mothers and helping out dads to cope with that beautiful experience of bringing a baby into the world. What's been your journey and what made you become a midwife?
Well, it was more by accident than by design. My early life was sort of interrupted by being in boarding school very early, and when I left school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Yeah. So I had a number of different positions, and to cut a long story short, eventually I decided I'd like to work with people more, and I applied at Grafton Hospital to be a wardsman. I thought that would give me a little bit of more contact with people. Mm. Anyway, it was just purely by chance, the person who interviewed me said, "Do you want to be a nurse or a wardsman?" And of course, it didn't enter my belief system that men could nurse. So yeah. This was a new challenge. And from there, I took off. And then after I'd finished my general training and worked for a year at Grafton, the matron felt I would be really a good person in administration. She said, "If you're going to, you know, run a hospital, you have to know a lot about midwifery. You need to do that." Mm-hmm. So off I went to Blacktown in 1976, yeah. And the doors opened there, and kind of from there I did many other things and eventually ended up at Barrow Hospital, and since 1989, right up until about 2007, I worked as the midwife there in the unit.
Wow, that's a good 34 years ago when that journey began.
Yep, yeah, it's been a very rewarding journey, and I think coming into nursing and midwifery with all those other things that I had done gave me a broader sort of perception of life, and I could connect with people easier.
Yeah. Can you tell us how old you are?
67.
67, and still powering along.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Life is to be lived as far as I'm concerned.
I love that attitude. So, Peter, tell us about this program you developed, Calm Birth, because you have managed to help so many mothers achieve a calm birth.
Well, back in 1989, when I came to Barrel to live, and I'd been sort of in a few other areas of nursing and adolescence and mental health, and because I had a midwife certificate, they thought, "Oh, we'll put you in the maternity unit." Mm. So I got to ask a few questions because things had changed. They'd had improved since I'd done my training in terms for mums and bubs since 1976. Mm. And I was still confused because some mums seemed to have great experiences, other mums seemed to have very sad, disappointing experience, and it was, you know, very painful for them. So I began to search, I suppose, a little bit deeper, and in 1994 I combined my nursing with subconscious mind work, and I found that sort of provided the foundation, if you like, to bring mind-body medicine into the midwifery area, which primarily I had sort of been approaching it more from a physical point of view.
So tell us more about the mind-body connection that you've come to understand.
The mind-body connection to me is fascinating. I've had some excellent teachers in terms of books and seminars. Dr. Herbert Benson, mind-body medicine in the United States. Dr. Milton Erickson, my own teachers here in Australia, Greg Bryce and Frank Wright. Mm. And what I really have come to understand is that it's the mind that drives the physiology. It's our attitude, it's our belief system via the emotions that really drive the physiology. So when I started to look at it and kind of try to line it all up with obstetrics, what I found with a lot of mums was fear. Mm. And of course, you know, on any level, take childbirth out of the equation, fear is going to alter physiology in quite dramatic ways, and in ways that we know and can describe in contemporary science.
Mm. So you've basically put this process, you know, the beautiful process of childbirth and mind-body medicine, you've put them together and created a program where you're helping women go through childbirth loving it. Is that right?
Exactly right. I mean, I have a number of mums who have said to me, I was sad when it was over because it was so good.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting, and I wonder, well, why can't all women kind of experience that kind of birth? And I have found with some mums who I have worked with who have come to me who have had very traumatic and painful first births, and once they understand the process, the amazing process of the human body when a mother gives birth, and work with that process, assist in its design with some of the ideas and tools that we teach at Calm Birth, then they're the creator of the birth experience. And all those other wonderful people, the obstetricians and the midwives and people there, I see them more as the safety net, because no one can guarantee that, you know, everything's going to turn out exactly right 100% of the time. And I think that's right across life. Who can foretell what's going to happen? But I believe in preparing the mum to work with the process to, well, I often say it in my classes, to look at the birth of their baby as a labour of love and get the right sort of hormonal balance, which is well documented in people like Dr. Sarah Buckley, Dr. Michelle O'Dont. If we get those hormones, the right, they often call it a cocktail of love hormones, and that seems to create a totally different experience of bringing their babies into the world.
So what is it that you do in your program?
Well, first of all, I talk more about than what we understand in contemporary science of the normal physiology of birth and how the mother's beliefs and emotions affect the, well, I suppose, working of that physiology. We can demonstrate in contemporary science how the emotion of fear will alter the blood flow to different parts of the body. We can also understand how fear creates tension. This is a natural survival mechanism. But in childbirth, it can sort of disrupt the whole thing. So in terms of approaching the childbirth with the right mindset is, I believe, you know, one of the most essential things for any mum to do.
And what is it that you do? Do you do the old technique where it's all to do with the breathing, or is it all to do with trying to block out the sensations? What is it you do?
Well, it's a combination of things. First, knowledge is a great ingredient. And if the mother understands basically, simply, the physiology, how the, well, muscle was, the uterine muscle was designed to work, and this is based on, initially on the work of Grantley Dick Reed, who was an English obstetrician back in the early part of last century, and of all the things I've read on it, Reed's work makes a lot of sense to me. As he said, he came to the conclusion that this muscle was an amazing part of nature's design, but what interfered with its effective working was the emotions. In other words, he sort of understood that there were three parts to it: the mother's belief system, the actual working of the uterine muscle dependent a lot on the emotional level or the emotional aspect of the mother. So what I do is, first of all, give them that knowledge. Knowledge is to me a great way to dismantle fear of the unknown. Secondly, I then introduce them to what I call subconscious resources, and there are many wonderful resources within our human body based on contemporary science, such as the relaxation response, basically from Dr. Herbert Benson. Wonderful books, and he spent many, many years as a cardiologist helping people to enter into the relaxation response. So that's number one. Secondly, our subconscious memory. We have lots of good memories. Memories are a wonderful resource. The use of our imagination in visualization. This is a powerful tool. Mums have said to me, Peter, I birthed my baby as I had visualized it, as I had prepared for the birth, I pre-played it in my mind what I would like. Now, as I said, you can't guarantee this, but it does sort of give the mother something to work with that amazing experience. And there are a number of other resources that we teach, including breathing. Breathing There is some great science behind it, both from Western medicine and also from Eastern philosophy. So combining all those things together seems to give the mothers some practical tools to work with to create their experience.
Fantastic. So, Peter, tell us a little bit more about that relaxation response you were talking about.
Well, the relaxation response is part of our normal physiology. This is what I really love about the work I do. It's not something that I'm sort of pulling out of the air. Benson's work on the relaxation response, and he describes it so well. He's got a very succinct, if you like, definition. It's a bodily calm that we can all evoke. And it's the opposite to the well-known fight and flight mechanism, which in birth, if a mother is frightened, anxious, or she doesn't feel safe, she's going to push that button. So therefore, it's going to alter how her body is working.
Yeah.
Whereas if she's relaxed, we respect her privacy, she has the tools to work with, then it's amazing what she can do. And as Benson goes on to point out, the relaxation response, that's when the body's in a kind of a healing mode, reshuffling mode, so that we can sort of conserve energy and all sorts of things like that and allow that energy to go where it's needed. And he said it often opens doorways, which I believe in, you know, other authors that I've written, such as Milton Erickson, it allows us access to those deeper levels of our awareness and the wonderful resources that we have, such as our imagination, creative visualization, all those things.
Peter, what's the number one fear you've come across with women when they talk about childbirth and labour?
Pain. Every time. I suppose if I look back over my time, and I used to sit on the bed and talk to many mums, I got a lovely insight from Dr. Michelle O'Dont in one of his books where he said, if you let them, each mother will teach you something. So just listening to mums, that's what they would say. I'd say, tell me about your experience. What was good with it? What was wrong with it? Or what did you find difficult? And you could nearly bet your bottom dollar after every time, the first thing, Peter, it is painful. So that, to me, didn't make a huge lot of sense. You know, it didn't seem that, you know, mothers should have to go through pain to bring their children into the world. Okay, work, incredible muscle sensation at times, powerful muscle sensation, and Grantley DeGreed discovered this also, that it depends on the state of mind of the mother. You can talk to the mother about the workings of the uterine muscle as sensation and pressure and maybe, you know, quite intense at times. But if you work with it, then that can change the whole, you know, birth experience.
I'm intrigued with this word that you're using, sensation, as opposed to pain. Is it the same sort of thing that they would talk about in a pain management unit, for instance, in a hospital, trying to reshuffle the body's memory and sort of understanding of how that sensation is being sort of interpreted?
Look, I'm not sure. When I started back in 1994, I used to frequent pain management seminars. And I think it was Professor Michael Cousins. I've got a...
He's over here in nothing.
Real nice,
yeah,
sure. He gave me some great insights, and I went over to South Australia to Flinders Medical Centre there, and I spent a few days with I think it was Dr. Brownridge, who was, you know, doing a lot with epidural block anaesthesia, and I was really trying to find what it was. And in the medical model, we talk more of pain and... You know, that's the perception, etc. And I don't have a problem with that. Pain is pain. It's an interpretation of a stimulus.
Yeah.
But again, even in my other areas of nursing, where a person was more focused, had a different understanding, the pain didn't seem to be as bad. If their mindset was in a better way, using breathing techniques. And, you know, I often showed people that during post-operative care, you know. Let the body go. Let that part of you that's been, you know, incised, yes, there's going to be sensations there. But if you breathe slowly, rhythmically, relax your body. Often it's the muscles around the injured site that are screaming because they're held in so tense. So again, I think using all the concepts of the relaxation response and the breathing, and again, the breathing, for example, We know that when we change the rate and depth, according to Dr. Candace Pert, that we release different brain signals or chemicals, and some of those are the endorphins, which are the body's natural opiates.
Yeah. It seems to be part of your program is a matter of educating mothers and partners in exactly what's going on. So you spoke about the uterine wall. So the uterus actually has a job to bring the baby out without us even being sort of conscious. Is that right?
Well, according to what I can, put together, the uterus is the prime mover.
Mm.
And that's what I like about Grant Liddick-Reed's sort of understanding and the way he described the action, the muscle layers, where the outer longitudinal muscles powerfully draw up during the labour, and that's why this, the sensations can be extremely powerful, and they eventually bunch up, and according to his theory, that's what pushes the baby out. Now, the middle layer of the uterine muscle, its role is to supply the energy, the blood supply between the waves when it relaxes in that relaxation phase, allowing blood to flow through, refueling it, I often say, for the next wave.
Mm.
And the inner circular fibres in the actual giving of birth need to sort of let go and be drawn open by the action of the longitudinal muscles. To me, this makes perfectly good sense.
Mm.
And if the mother works with that, with each sensation that she experiences, using her breathing, which again, as I said, according to science, releases all those amazing different brain signals, visualization and all sorts of things like that, then she is creating her experience.
Peter, how can you create a calm birth?
Well, firstly, I think knowledge is one of the most important things.
Mm.
Again, there's a lovely scientist by the name of Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he put this in perspective for me. He said, our brains are designed to go from thinking to doing to being.
Mm.
And when I reflected on that, I thought, that's right. The thinking part is the gathering of the knowledge and information. So again, if the mother is aware of how her body was designed to work and how she can work with it, so she needs some theory to underpin that.
Mm.
Then she needs to go away and put that into practice and come to the realization that her body was designed to birth the baby and to believe in herself.
Mm.
And also for the dad to understand the process so that he can support that on an emotional level by encouragement and companionship.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, again, as history has unfolded, we've sidelined the dads a lot.
Mm.
So knowledge is the first thing. Knowledge is the great ingredients. That's the thinking part. The doing part is after the classes, without pressure, the mum puts into practice the things like the breathing techniques, the visualizations, because she now understands the process so she can reflect on it.
Mm.
And in her mind, begin to think about the kind of birth she would like to achieve. Like one couple said it so beautifully, they left the class and they decided to have a positive experience.
Mm.
They couldn't say what the actual outcome on the day would be, but they never let themselves err from saying, this is going to be a positive experience.
Yeah.
And they were open to the possibility that, it may go to the right or left. So they put time and effort into preparing. To me, as another mother said it, part of it might have been luck, but mostly it was preparation.
And you would have seen lots of very, very anxious mothers in your courses, wouldn't you?
Oh, extremely anxious mothers.
Mm.
So the doing part is the next part, and then the third part in Joe's little insight is creating the experience, because we have taken the knowledge in, we've become proficient at putting it into practice, and then we create the experience.
Mm.
And I think if you look at anything in life, it's what you put into it, it's what you get out of it.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, Peter, just in terms of creating the experience of childbirth, how can we engage our midwives and nurses and obstetricians in the process?
Well, this is a good question, and it's not one that's easily answered, because there are different bodies of knowledge, there are different models of interaction,
yes.
And basically we work with the midwifery and the obstetric or the medical model of, of care in caring for mums and dads and babies during childbirth.
Mm.
Now, each model has something very positive to offer. Each model, as far as I'm concerned, has a part to play.
Yeah.
But I think the key to it is helping the couple first understand the process and then enter into more communication and a partnership with their caregivers so that they, as a team, create the experience.
Yeah.
And for perhaps the medical people, because we are more, if you like, risk-orientated, and we do see things, you know, the things that we see make us very much on guard.
Mm.
And I think we have to perhaps rediscover, as I have, I believe, that we can trust the process in the majority of cases, given that the mother has the right preparation, the tools, and the support that she needs.
Yeah.
And then we can sort of use all these other things. So it's really, I think, an education point on three levels. And the mother and the father first, we really prepare them. We've got all this wonderful 9 months to prepare them. Secondly, to perhaps re-look at it in our medical model that natural birth is the starting point, and then, if need be, we can add all these other things into it.
Mm. And Peter, just before the break, we sort of alluded to a bonding process that happens between baby and mother just after birth. Can you tell us a bit more about this and how we can make it happen quicker?
Really, the whole process starts during the journey in the womb.
Mm.
And it's the mum and the dad communicating first and foremost with each other, the loving relationship. Then the child is absorbing that. The mother is literally interpreting the kind of world that baby's being brought into.
Mm.
Again, that's Bruce Lipton's work. And then at birth, and then give them time, because I think if anybody can just even think about it from the baby's perspective, it's just come into the world and, wow, where am I? But mum and dad are there. Now, Sarah Buckley, Michelle O'Donnell says in that first hour or two after birth, the hormonal kind of interaction in mother and baby is profound. They'll never have the same amount of oxytocin and endorphins. And this apparently sets the scene for them, Sarah Buckley puts it, to fall in love with each other.
Mm.
And I think if we've, you know, kind of made that journey where the couple are approaching their birth confidently and everything sort of turns out into an experience where they say, wow, and they're given that time, then the bonding takes off. Because that's the bonding is the emotional connection between the three of them.
Yeah.
And it's just as important, I believe, for the dad to be so involved and to talk and communicate with that baby while it's in the womb and to be there and really be present at the birth.
Mm.
And then three people get off to a good start.
Yeah.
And of course, there'll always be other challenges to the bonding and relationship as we grow. This is life.
Yeah.
But get it off to a good start.
Yeah, no, sounds good. Peter, I'm sure that in your experience you've seen some pregnancies which have had premature babies, or the baby was just in some trouble and had to be taken off to the intensive care unit. What happens with the bonding process there, and how can people manage to improve that?
Well, yes, that's certainly been part of the journey where some mums have, you know, had that experience. Now, again, I often use the analogy. I use a lot of analogies, but I like the aeroplane.
Mm.
If we hit a bit of turbulence as we enter the atmosphere, say the baby becomes premature, case in mind, stories always provide an excellent example of a mum who birthed twins at about 34 weeks.
Mm.
And they had to be rushed off to the intensive care. Mm. The dad went with them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is important, that we keep up that connection either between mum or dad. And or sometimes if mum's busy, then the dad can sort of step in.
Peter, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you are 67 and you've got some great experience in midwifery and delivering babies. And you also had quite an extensive life prior to that too. So what do you really want to be remembered for?
Well, I'd like to be remembered that I was always searching for knowledge.
Mm.
One of my greatest, if you like, heroes of history is Galileo.
Mm.
And just a very simple story may illustrate it. He refined the lens of the telescope. And back in 1611, he could see the moons around Jupiter, but nobody believed him.
Mm.
Now, I can look at the same thing, and I've built not on, this is not all my work, I've built on the work of others, and perhaps I've refined the telescope just that little bit more.
Mm.
And if people can pick up on that and remember, yeah, well, somebody cut the pathway a little bit further into the frontier, then, you know, we'll always be pushing the frontier back. But, yeah, hopefully that I've made some contribution that people can recognise that it's a contribution with many other people along the road. Mm. And there's some wonderful scientists around now that are really giving us those insights. So, yeah, I feel that, you know, to be remembered as somebody who pushed the frontier back just a little bit.
Nice one, Peter. Just before we go, unfortunately, we need to wrap it up. Do you have any closing words for any mothers-to-be who are listening to this?
I would say to all mums, look, childbirth can be an amazing experience, but I really believe that knowledge, understanding how your body was designed to work, tools to work with it, are essential for you to create the experience.
Mm. Oh, that's lovely, Peter. And creation is what it's all about, isn't it?
It is.
Mm.
And as Joe Dispenza said, when we get out of survival mode, see, a lot of mums approach their birth saying, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to survive it?
Mm.
And he said, when we move from survival to creation, that's when we're really using our brain, our inner resources, our subconscious resources, call them what you like.
Mm.
And that's when we, I mean, right across the board of life, when we move from survival into creation, that's when we start to change things.
Lovely, beautiful. Peter, it's been great having you on the show. I really appreciate you being on our show today.
That's a pleasure, John. I really enjoy talking. I love to talk about these things and perhaps shed a bit of light on, well, something that needs a little bit of light on, I think.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Thanks, Peter.
Okay.
And that was Peter Jackson of Calm Birth. He developed that program called Calm Birth. And if you want to find out a bit more about it, visit www.calmbirth.com.au. There's a lot of information on there, and you can even, it's a contact number if you want to make a phone call to Peter himself. And thanks for joining us today on Living is Easy. To listen to this and other podcasts, go to www.livingiseasy.com.au. I'm John Petrozzi. Until next time, stay well and stay happy.
Living is Easy was brought to you from the studios of 89.7 FM East Side Radio.